This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Now give me my theme music.
All right, Denton, college football preview. It's not the weekend that we've had the last couple of weekends with the massive, you know, marquee game, but there's some good ones. Go ahead.
Yeah, there are definitely some good ones. And I would honestly say, Kevin, there is a marquee matchup going on in the late window, the 7:30 kickoff. It's LSU and Texas A&M. And sure, this is a real opportunity for one of them to put themselves in a strong position to make it into the college football playoff. Both teams are 6-1 on the season. LSU lost that game at the beginning of the year to USC. Texas A&M lost that game at the beginning of the year to Notre Dame, and they've been unbeaten since then. So obviously that's going to change for one of them. You look at Texas A&M's schedule, they still got Texas at the end of the year. But outside of that, they have a couple of really winnable games. And then for LSU, I mean, they still got Bama next week and then Vanderbilt on the schedule as well. But this should be a fun one. I think Garrett Nussmeier right now is the best quarterback in the SEC, but I think Texas A&M is the best defense in the SEC, albeit they haven't played this offense before with LSU, but this should be a fun one.
Can you believe that you're saying that Garrett Nussmeier you think is the best quarterback in the SEC? I don't disagree with you.
It sounds like I'm big-time tripping.
Yeah, but there's something about him, and we've talked about him a couple of times this year. He's going to be on somebody's roster. I'm not saying he's going to be an NFL starter, but he's going to be in the league because he is super smart and super tough, and you can see that. And there's a lot to like about him. Everybody likes him. He stuck around when he could have left when, you know, Jaden was there last year, stuck around to back him up. He had a lot of opportunities, a lot of NIL opportunities. This is a huge game, clearly. A&M, I don't believe in that quarterback, and that may be an early season bias. I believe in them defensively. I thought LSU was going to lose last week at Arkansas after beating Ole Miss.
Oof, I did not.
I thought that was a major letdown spot for them, and they came through in one of those trap games beautifully. I give LSU a really good chance in College Station Saturday night.
I do, too, and I think it'll add to the spectacle of the looming LSU-Alabama game. Speaking of Alabama, they got Missouri. They're 17.5-point favorites. Missouri is going to for sure be without their leading rusher, potentially without Brady Cook as well. He suffered a high ankle sprain last week, came back to the game to win it for Missouri, but with the benefit of some time, it takes a while for a high ankle sprain to get better, so we don't know if their starting quarterback's going to be going. It'd be Drew Pine, the former Notre Dame quarterback.
He cannot do it.
No.
He couldn't do it last week. You know, I had Auburn last week, +4, and they were up 17-3 in the fourth quarter. And Brady Cook had gone to the hospital, and clearly he got an injection of something. And he came back, and he brought them back from 14 down to win 21-17. He is a tough SOB. He also has very quick processing and quick release. You can see that with him. They're a completely different team without him, which is why Bama, who can't stop anybody, is a 17.5-point favorite against Missouri. So Missouri season, which, you know, started to come apart a little bit with the A&M blowout loss, and they should have lost last week. They're not going to be in the hunt for a playoff. They're not beating Bama. No, without Brady Cook. No,
this is going to end that run. You mentioned you got Notre Dame and Navy. Notre Dame, a 13.5-point favorite. They are technically a road team, but this is not going to be played at Navy. This is at MetLife Stadium, so it's a neutral site game. Obviously, a lot of hype around Navy. They're 6-0 unbeaten on the season. They're ranked 24th in the country by the AP, but this Notre Dame team has been playing pretty darn well. They can run the football.
They can really run the football, and that's why Notre Dame's a 2-touchdown favorite over Navy. If you're wondering why Navy, who's, you know, by the way, can throw the football with Horvath, they are much more capable of being sort of multidimensional offensively, but I don't think they can stop Notre Dame. You're going to probably hear them in the smell test. I like the Irish tomorrow. And if Navy wins, I mean, it is on. I mean, now you're talking about, you know, what we have setting up is we've got, you know, a championship game in that American Athletic with Army and Navy potentially being the top two teams. Navy still has Tulane. Tulane's good, Denton.
They're good.
Pretty good again.
They've been good for 3 years now.
Yeah. So, but you could have, and we've talked about this already, you could have Army-Navy in the AAC championship game, and then Army-Navy a week later playing in their normal annual spot. And one of these teams has to beat Notre Dame and go undefeated to be a playoff team. I'll ask you, which of the two teams has a better chance, Navy this weekend or Army in a couple of weeks?
I would go with Army in a couple of weeks. I do really like Navy. I think the fact they can throw the ball makes them significantly more dynamic than we're used to them being. But I think Army is a better – I think Army is a slightly better team, and I love their – Bryson Daly is a – awesome quarterback that Army has. So I would trust Army just a little bit more. I do think that line will be somewhat comparable when those two teams play, maybe a little shorter depending on what happens between now and then for Army, but it will still more likely than not be a double-digit line when those two teams, Notre Dame and Army, square off.
You know, if Army and Navy play in the AAC championship game, you realize that'll be a home field advantage for the higher seed. They play that game in a home field scenario. So
yeah,
it would be in Annapolis or West Point.
I'd try to go to that game. I mean, if we get that in Annapolis, I'd definitely be out there for that one. I think that'd be a fun environment.
It is. That would be championship Saturday.
It'd be championship Saturday.
They play that on Saturday?
Yeah, it would be.
All right, what else?
All right, how about Vanderbilt being ranked for the first time in 11 years? They're 25th. They host Texas, who just lost last week to Georgia. Texas on the road against Vanderbilt is an 18.5-point favorite in this one. It feels like this is a situation where Vanderbilt might get stomped, but I'm not writing Diego Pavia off. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, that line is big. It's funny because the action on the game is pretty split. You're right. Pavi is just competitive badass. But this appears to be a bad matchup maybe at the line of scrimmage, most importantly. Look, Bama can't stop anybody. And that's why Vanderbilt was able to pull the upset. Bama's defense is legit bad. And, you know, Milroe took that big sack. He's declined. We've talked about that. He's regressed. He's not the NFL first round pick, as we know. Big spot for Texas to bounce back. They're certainly not out of the race by any stretch of the imagination. And they're still a really good team that they faced a big boy defense that was angry in Austin Saturday night. That was big boy defense.
Yeah, that was a grown man defense they played.
I love Kirby. He is a great coach. Great coach. And gets it. What else do we have?
All right, two more quick ones I just want to throw out here. You got Illinois and Oregon. This is a 3:30 CBS and also Paramount Plus game for the Big Ten. Illinois played really, really well. They beat Michigan last week, and they're 22-point underdogs against the best team in the nation.
21.5. Just don't tell me 22, because this is a game that will be in the smell test. This line is just outrageously
high. It's outrageously high.
Here's what's interesting is that Oregon, and I'm just going to give you the game that they've each played recently. Oregon shut out Purdue last week, 35-0. Purdue's terrible.
Yeah.
Illinois had to go to overtime to beat Purdue 50-49. How did Purdue, who can't score 49 against Illinois?
Just one of those matchup things.
I guess.
I think that puts Illinois in a tough spot against Oregon because they can score against anybody.
Yeah. This may be... God, man, I'm still not a big Oregon guy. I'm not a big Dylan Gabriel guy. I'm not a big Oregon guy, but I think they absolutely smother Illinois. What else?
All right, final one here that I just want to squeeze in here because I think you and I might not the last game of the day. I'm interested in Penn State and Wisconsin. You know, okay. Penn State has Ohio State coming up next week. This could be a very big look-ahead game, but at the same time, you're coming off of a bye week. I tend to think you're not falling for a trap off of a bye week, but we've seen crazier things. The Nittany Lions are 6.5-point favorites on the road.
Camp Randall, Saturday night. That place is going to be insane. I have a feeling Drew Aller's up against it Saturday night. And the look-ahead or not, this is just a tough spot. Wisconsin's good defensively. They're capable defensively. Alabama torched them, understood. The key is, you know, will Penn State be able to run the football against that team? But I bet that place is lit, and I bet Wisconsin plays that game really tightly.
I think it'll be fun. I love Wisconsin's one of my favorite environments.
One of the best. Real quickly, the Terps have Minnesota on the road. Big game for them. If they're going to be bowl eligible and go to another bowl game for a fourth straight year, which, you know, Terp fans, relax on Loxley. Come on. I mean, it was complete dead, the program was. Three bowl games in a row, three bowl wins. This is a game they kind of have to have at Minnesota. They're a 4-point dog. Minnesota, yeah, I think you beat Maryland by trying to run against them a little bit, and they're not a great running team. That coach drives me nuts, too. All right, up next, you're going to hear Pep Hamilton and Stanford Steve will jump on with us as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
So I had a chance the other day to have a conversation with longtime NFL offensive mind, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach Pep Hamilton, a guy that's been in coaching for 25 years, went to Howard, is very familiar with the D.C. area, follows the D.C. area teams because his wife grew up in PG County. They still have a home, actually, in the D.C. area as well. But Pep Hamilton coached Andrew Luck as the offensive coordinator in Indianapolis during his first few years. And I had him on my podcast the other day, but it ended up being so good that I am actually going to run it as a standalone podcast over the weekend. But I wanted to play some of it for you today because he had a lot of thoughts about Jaden Daniels in particular and Washington so far. But I started this with Pep, this particular segment, by asking him about the draft back in April and where he had the quarterbacks ranked. So you'll hear it from this point forward, and then again, there's an opportunity to listen to the entire thing. He's had an incredible coaching life, incredible relationships over the years, and just was a great storyteller. But this was some good stuff on the quarterbacks and on Jaden Daniels and how Cliff Kingsbury is using him.
I had Caleb at the top.
You did, okay.
You know, of my board. And part of it was the D.C. bias. I offered Caleb a scholarship in 2017 or 18 maybe, when he was a freshman at Gonzaga. And I saw him play in person in 2018. It was a Friday night. Gonzaga was playing against McNamara, and I saw him throw a go ball, had to be 60 yards in the air, to Bobby Ingram's son. I think it's Dean Ingram.
Okay.
On that Friday night, and I remember calling back to Ann Arbor and telling Jim Harbaugh that, hey, I know it's early, but there is a ninth grader that's down here in D.C. that we really need to give a lot of attention to, and Caleb went on to have a heck of a college career, and he's doing pretty good thus far in his career in the National Football League.
Did you guys offer him? Did Michigan offer him as a ninth grader?
We offered Caleb as a ninth grader.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, during that same time period in which I was recruiting high school quarterbacks for the University of Michigan, there was a skinny kid that was playing quarterback out in Southern California who was on our board, who I had to evaluate, by the name of Jaden Daniels, who was one of the elite guys as well. And at that time, you know, I felt like he was going to be a good player, but did I feel like he was, all right, somebody who we should, you know, really pursue and put at the top of our quarterback board at that time? I did not. And boy, was I wrong. You know, and I've been wrong before, because when I was coaching at Stanford, the year that we took Kevin Hogan, we had three quarterbacks that we were evaluating, and we were planning to take two, and we had them all come to our quarterback camp at Stanford. Well, the odd man out, we took two of the three. The guy that we didn't take was Johnny Manziel. That was a mistake.
Look, it's not the easiest thing, recruiting or drafting, so don't worry about it.
Right.
In the NFL draft, if you hit on one out of four, one out of three, it's a pretty good hit rate. So anyway, so by the way, he went to Arizona State, obviously, and played for a guy that you coached with, Herm Edwards, when you were with the Jets.
That's right. And, okay. He went to Arizona State, played good football as a freshman, okay? I mean, played really good football. And I'm of the belief that you can't teach experience. One of the things that separate Jaden from the other young quarterbacks that are playing as rookies is the number of reps, the time on task that he's had. Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix had more pass attempts in college than any of the other quarterbacks that were in the draft. And
yeah.
So who's surprised that these guys are able to go out and function as young quarterbacks, you know? And I do think it's still a bit premature to say that they've arrived. I know that Jaden's been very productive and he's fun to watch. And my wife and her sisters took her father, who's been a Redskins fan forever, Ella Strada took him to see the game that they played, I want to say, against the Browns.
And yeah.
Jaden just went bananas, right?
Like, right.
He had an unbelievable game. And she called and was like, this is one of the best football players that I've ever seen. And my wife's been around football for a long time. And so he's made an impression on our Commanders fan base and his skill set and his poise. And what they're doing with them, all right, is really, it hadn't happened before. Not at the rate that he's going out and putting these numbers up. Like, he is throwing the ball from the pocket. He's extending plays and still making great throws downfield. And when he takes off and run, he's one of the fastest people on the field. All right? And so he's been special that way. But I had Caleb at the top. I had Jaden as the next guy. And then I was a little higher on Michael Penix than I was some of the other guys, you know. And I've known Drake May's family since I was a high school kid in Charlotte. We're from the same hometown. And I think Drake has a high ceiling as well. But I felt like Caleb and Jaden were the class of the draft, and they're both having success respectively, you know.
All right, so you talked about some of the things that you've loved watching already, you know, the throwing from the pocket, right, the extending the plays, using his, you know, athleticism, etc. Is there anything about what you've seen so far this year, or just in knowing the player, that concerns you?
Unfortunately, Kevin, I am concerned that in his attempts to extend plays and ultimately manage broken plays and bad plays, that he is exposing himself to too many hits at times, and the hits have a compounding effect. If that makes sense. Like, you know, it's unfortunate that in today's NFL that, you know, the quarterback position is a position in which now we're calling plays in which we anticipate that the quarterback is going to get hit. Like, we're calling running plays with the quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's different. That's very different than the way that you approach offensive football in the NFL 10, 15, 20 years ago. And my challenge, you know, my challenge to that approach would be, let's use a regression methodology. I mentioned this before, in which you look at what the end game is. You know, you want to win a Super Bowl, and when we look at what success at the quarterback position has looked like in recent years, it's been Pat Mahomes and how he approaches and plays the game. Well, I don't know that there's anyone else that's ever played the game that has really had the uncanny spatial awareness and the ability to throw from multiple platforms and improvise and make plays like Pat Mahomes. But the NFL has always been a copycat league, and now that is, in a sense, what teams are looking for. They're looking for a playmaker, a creator at the quarterback position. But, you know, Pat Mahomes is a generational talent, you know. In 100-plus years of the National Football League, let's go back and really evaluate, you know, how the quarterback position has been played and what examples have provided franchises, all right, what models have it provided franchises with sustained success. And I would argue that it really haven't been the style of offense in which you relied so heavily on your quarterback running the football. All right?
Yeah.
Can it be done? It can be done, but there's a reason that it hadn't been done as often as you would think when you look back over the years and look at, you know, the quarterbacks that have been what we call now dual threats, but they've been mobile quarterbacks.
Cliff Kingsbury, what kind of job is he doing?
Yeah, he's doing a masterful job. You know, the one thing that the Commanders are doing on offense that's really creating strife and problems for NFL defenses is their up-tempo offense. They're no-huddle offense. They're playing fast, all right? You got Terry McLaurin and the rest of the weapons that they have offensively, all right, spread out all across the field, all right, but the defenses have to really just center their attention on the mobility of the quarterback. Well, as soon as you start to really just try and zone in on worrying yourself about the quarterback taking off and running, all right, Jaden Daniels has shown that he is an elite passer from the pocket.
Yep.
But Cliff and the offensive staff, by the way, the quarterback coach, Tavita Pritchard,
Stanford.
He was a graduate assistant for me at Stanford back when I was a coordinator at Stanford. He's done a great job of fundamentally and really cerebrally helping Jaden to transition to the NFL game. But Cliff is really in tune with what Jaden is able to do, and he has put Jaden in a position to be successful. So I'm going to rewind one more time. Back in 2003, I think it was, when I first joined the Jets, New York Jets, in that quarterback room was Chad Pennington, all right?
Vinny Testaverde?
Vinny Testaverde. But Cliff was one of the quarterbacks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, Cliff doesn't hold a grudge, but we ended up cutting Cliff that offseason, so he wasn't around for very long.
Yeah.
But smart guy, nice guy, has been around this spread air raid attack for many years at Texas Tech. He tried to do the same at the Cardinals, and now he has another opportunity to take another dynamic young quarterback and put him in a position to be successful. And he has done a masterful job thus far. And I anticipate that he'll continue to do a great job, because when Jaden Daniels got hurt the other day, this past Sunday, they didn't miss a beat. They put Mariota in the game. Mariota has a similar skill set as Jaden. Jaden is probably a better passer from the pocket.
Yep.
No slight against Mariota, but, I mean, it's just offensively, they're fun to watch. And the league, the defenses around the league hadn't quite figured out how to slow down their up-tempo no-huddle attack just yet.
That was Pep Hamilton. Some good stuff on Jaden Daniels, the way they're playing him, Cliff Kingsbury. And again, tomorrow I'm going to put out the entire conversation. He had so many great stories from so many different coaching experiences. He coached, he was the offensive coordinator for Andrew Luck in the Deflategate game in New England. He was on the staff as an intern for Marty Schottenheimer here in 2001. He worked for Jim Harbaugh. He worked for Herm Edwards. He just had phenomenal stories, great memory, and I'll put that out on tomorrow's podcast, which you can get wherever you get a podcast. I also had something else to play for you today. Stanford Steve from College Game Day, good friend of mine, the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center show, was on with me the other day, and primarily to talk about college football, but really all he wanted to talk about was Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, the Washington football team, and how they were doing this year. And so I was about to basically get rid of him off of the show and say, thank you very much. The college football discussion was fine. And he said, no, wait a minute. And I want you to hear kind of his thoughts. Steve, I've mentioned before, along with several other people that really know people in college football, have a really good sense of, and had a really good sense of, what Cliff Kingsbury could be. But this is how that part of the conversation with Stanford Steve went. All right, we'll talk Jaden Daniels the next time you're on. Thanks for doing this. All right, go ahead.
I had one question for you.
All right.
Come on.
Go ahead.
You can't beat me.
What?
All right. You were the first one to mention Jaden Daniels for MVP. I have one question.
Yeah.
Does Marcus Mariota's performance last week hurt your Jaden Daniels MVP talk?
Well, just the fact that he may not play. play this Sunday. And by the way, the MVP discussion is basically over anyway, because Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the league 7 weeks into the season. This guy has taken a massive step forward as a quarterback. He's actually, other than Jaden, my favorite player to watch in the league. You're trying to get to, is Cliff Kingsbury the reason that all of this is happening? So I did a segment maybe 2 weeks ago, you know, kind of your pie chart of credit, you know, slice the pie, okay. How much Jaden, how much Cliff, how much something else.
Yeah.
And I was, a couple of weeks ago, I think I was 75% Jaden, 20% Cliff, and 5% okay. Kind of the O-line and everything else.
What about the head coach?
Well, I mean, okay, but we're focused more on just the offense, and we've got a okay. defensive head coach. Right. But by the way, he gets a lot of credit for everything that's gone on, because the organization is just completely – it's a completely different organization top-down than it's been, as you know, in a quarter century. But I would say – well, let me ask you. I want your answer. Now that we saw what Mariota did, and – keep in mind, yep. and I know you know this, Carolina is the worst defensive team in the league. The worst.
Correct.
He also came into the game when the game was already starting to feel like it was over for the Panthers. Yep. But at the same time, yep. Mariota was great. He was, I mean, it was a high-level performance from the backup quarterback. And I was happy for him. I thought he was pretty decent the year in Atlanta with Arthur Smith.
Huh?
But yeah. You answer it. What percentage, Jaden? What percentage, Cliff? What percentage, anything else?
Jaden's obviously the majority. Just, you know, in between the lines has to go a lot farther than the plan. And, you know, still got to execute what the plan is. So, Jaden, for sure. The
what percent?
The one thing, I go 65.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
One thing I wonder about is their overall team health, because you talk, you know, they kept, I mean, the Mariota throw to Zach Ertz, like, I wasn't sure those guys could do that back when they played against each other in college. That was an incredible.
The one at the end of the first half.
Play.
Yeah. The touchdown.
Yeah. I mean,
yep.
Zach, I keep saying, like, Zach, catch the ball and get down, man. You're too old. You are valuable, but get down. And he goes up and snags that one, and it's just a great throw from Marcus. I didn't think he still had that in him. The thing about Mariota is he's probably said less than any quarterback that's ever played. Like, he's just not into the talking mantra, and I think that affects people, like, on his team. They look for the quarterback to be the leader, outspoken, get guys going. He's just not that. He's going to be buttoned up. He's going to be prepared. He's going to be ready to play.
But they love him. They love him.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, they love him. It's just he's not doing the extra. He's not going out and doing extra interview. Like, he's just not going to do that.
No, right.
The one thing you're going to have to – they have to is running the football. I wonder about the health of Robinson and Eckler. You know, I told you Jaden's concern to me was his body type. That's the only thing. And it's going to – you're going to have to be fortunate as far as health and those guys. You know, I think the pieces, Zacchaeus, you know, the other guys that have stepped in have been awesome. And the best thing you saw that, and I think Cliff does this very, very well, is, you know, you talk about guys earning their role or establishing their role. He tells you what your role is going to be. And you see that. Guys, you know, whether it's personnel and it's down in distance and what – like, everybody's on the same page. The offensive line they've been better than I thought they were going to be, and I think anyone could say that. But now you're into it. You know, now you're – what, we played one division game?
Yeah. Did you just say we? Did you just say how many division games have we played?
No. I meant NFL fans.
All right, I'm just I thought you were referring to Washington. And I'm like, you live here now. Well, have you adopted them? Are you still, you know?
I'm rooting for the story. It's awesome to see how crazy people, I mean, we went to the airport 3 weeks ago we took two steps off the plane, and the guy was asking Scott about the Commanders. Like, I had never seen that in my whole time here.
Right.
Did they announce a crowd attendance for last
night? I think it was not a sellout, but it was as close to a sellout as possible. It was a bigger crowd than the Cleveland crowd.
Hate to cut Stanford Steve off there. You can listen to the remainder of that conversation on Kevin's podcast. It was from earlier this week, but we got ourselves a little bit of news. I'm going to consider this one to be breaking. After we thought that Jaden Daniels was not practicing today, he was in the bubble with the quarterbacks, and then when they went out to the field, there was no Jaden Daniels. It turns out, according to Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels did practice today.
Jaden was able to practice today. We followed the plan, really, that we set at the start of the week, and for you guys, think of like crawl, walk, run, like we do with a lot of guys, you know, on the return back from injury. So Wednesday into that first piece, Thursday on the walk piece to go, and then Friday to get the run. And we will assess how he responds to the work that we did, you know, over the next 48 hours. But we really pushed it today. And playing quarterback, the movements, the skills, and also specific to the game plan, you know, going through the whole thing, you know, all parts of the field. So we're really following that process, and we'll let our eyes, you know, decide how he responds over the next 48 hours. And that'll guide us, and we'll make the best decision for him and for the team. And if he can't go, certainly we have all the confidence in Marcus. This quarterback room is really a fun one to be around, to see the support they have for one another and helping one another, their readiness. So it's a remarkable group, you know, with Jaden and Marcus and Jeff and Sam, and they got their, you know, like four brothers together and their crazy cousin Blau, who's hanging around there all the time, you know, 1 year removed from playing. But it's just this really cool support system that they see for one another. And constantly, I'm, you know, early in the morning, I'll go down in the quarterback room and together or post practice. So it was a good week. And we stayed true to the process for Jaden of what we were going to do from Wednesday to Thursday. And then we really wanted to push him today to see where he would be. And then let's see what the next, you know, how he responds to that kind of push to go. But it was a good day.
No doubt about it, the door is at least open for Jaden Daniels to give it a go against Chicago. I bet the team is very, very happy that game is flexed. Gives them, if nothing else, just a couple more hours to see if Jaden will be ready to go by that late kickoff. So with all that said, it's time to get into some predictions. Kevin has a smell test. All that when we get back here. It's Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980.
All right, some news from the park from 321. All right, some news from the park from Ben Standig. Dan Quinn said, number one, Jaden Daniels did practice today. No decision for Sunday yet. Will determine status over the next 48 hours. Quinn said he imagines Daniels will be listed as limited on today's injury report. However, the staff pushed him to help gauge his physical status. So a step, I guess, in the direction of him playing, but we don't still definitively know. All right, let's get to the smell test.
Can you smell it?
It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the Team 980.
All right, the smell test last week, 4-6-1. 6 games under 500, Denton, for the season. Not good, but we're not even halfway through the NFL season. And I gave you a winner out last night with the Rams plus the 3. The NFL's been an absolute bloodbath the last 2 weeks. I think it's about to turn a little bit. I have several NFL games for Sunday, but I have a lot of college games as well. Let's get to it. Not a lot of discussion about these games. I'm just going to get them out there. Maybe a couple of points here and there. I'll start with UNLV tonight. I like them plus 3.5 at home against Boise. Genty, the running back for Boise, the 17th ranked team in the country, is outstanding. That line is short. Public likes Boise. I'll take UNLV. Notre Dame's giving a big number against Navy tomorrow. That is a 2-touchdown number right now at 14. That number's been fluctuating all over the place. When I saw the look-ahead line on this game last week, and it was 17, I know it's come down. It's gone back up. It's come down. It's all over the place. I'm just taking the Fighting Irish minus 14 because the public seems to like Navy at any number right now. I know. I've gone against Navy too much. Washington's getting 6.5 in Bloomington against Indiana and their backup quarterback. I like the Huskies. I'll buy the half point, take them plus 7. UConn lost last week, and yet the average bettor still thinks they're a lot better than Rice. The number is 6.5. I'll buy the half point and take Rice plus 7. The biggest head scratcher of the weekend is how the hell is UCF favored over 11th ranked and undefeated BYU? UCF is 3-4. I had them last week against Iowa State and they got it done. I'm going to take, just on typical general, contrarian handicapping principles here, nobody's going to have UCF. I will, laying the 2 against BYU. I think Oregon's laying an awfully big number, and so does the typical average John Q public bettor. They're betting Illinois plus the 21.5. I'll buy that half point and lay the 21 with the Ducks. I like Wisconsin Saturday night at Camp Randall against Penn State. 6.5, I'll buy it to 7. I think Drew Aller struggles. I think that building is lit. I like the Badgers plus the 7. It would not shock me if they won the game outright. I had Auburn last week. They should have come home as a winner against Missouri. Denton doesn't love the Missouri quarterback. I do. I think he can play. I'm not saying at a pro level. I think he's a really good college quarterback. He went to the hospital in the middle of that game and then came back in the fourth quarter and led them from 2 touchdowns down to a 21-17 win. That was a push for me, unfortunately. I'm going Auburn one more time, plus the 3 against Kentucky this week. And I'm also going Mountaineers one more time. I'm a glutton for punishment. I'll take them plus 3 at Arizona. And then the late night game is a good one. Saturday night, Cincinnati in Boulder against Colorado. All of a sudden, the public's back on Dion and the Buffaloes. I'll take Cincinnati by the half point, take them plus 7. They have lost 2 games. That's it this year, by a total of 4 points. Let's go to Sunday. I've already given you the Rams as an NFL winner. Jacksonville's getting a short number at home against Green Bay. I know they beat New England last week. Still, nobody thinks they're any good, and they're probably not very good, but they somehow lose by a field goal against the Packers. I'll take the Jags plus 4 against Green Bay. The biggest public play on Sunday is Baltimore laying 8.5 against Cleveland with Jameis Winston starting. I'll take a flyer on the Browns plus the 8.5. Houston's laying a rather short-looking number to the Colts, minus 5. They're a big public play, so I'll go with the Colts plus 5. I like the Raiders plus 10 in Vegas against the Chiefs. That would not shock me as an upset Sunday. I don't know how it happens, but the average bettor loves the big favorite. I like Seattle plus 3 against Buffalo. There is some super sharp money on the Seahawks. And then Monday night, I like the Giants plus the 6 against Pittsburgh. I'm sort of going down with the Giant ship as well. So recapping, UNLV tonight, tomorrow, Notre Dame, Washington, Rice, UCF, Oregon, Wisconsin, Auburn, West Virginia, and Cincinnati. Sunday, the Jags, the Browns, the Colts, the Raiders, and the Seahawks. And then Monday night, the Giants plus 6. Keep in mind, follow me on Twitter, at Kevin Sheehan DC on X. I do pool games occasionally before the afternoon windows open up on Saturday and Sunday. I pulled the Panthers last week from the smell test, thankfully, and I pulled the Titans the week before, and that worked out. Or those weeks would have been even worse than the picks that I gave you. There you go, the smell test for week 8 in the NFL. Amazing that we're here. All right, Denton, let's finish up with our predictions on what happens Sunday. I don't care right now who ends up being the starting quarterback. I think the key, as I mentioned earlier in the show, is what they do defensively against Chicago. I think this is an exciting back-and-forth game that Washington wins at the gun on an Austin Seibert 53-yard field goal, 27-24, Washington. They're 6-2 for the first time since Jim Zorn coached the team in 2008. What do you have?
So I am very concerned and interested in who is going to play at quarterback. And I apologize for not giving you this information before you decided to make your pick, but I do think it's worth playing. Jaden Daniels spoke to the media, not in like the general press conference way, as if he was just like everybody else. He did speak about his rib injury here. So I'll play this and then I'll give you my prediction.
Feel good.
Do you expect to play Sunday?
Do I expect to play? I want to play, but not my decision.
What's the injury?
Something to my rib. It's kind of hard to explain, but something to that area right there. Like I said, I mean, I feel good. Been treatment, all that, trying to get back right and give myself a chance to go out there and be confident to play. And, you know, ultimately the trainers and Adam and DQ, they make the decision to let me play and stuff like that. You know, they feel confident too.
What do you need to see from yourself to feel comfortable going out there?
My thing is just, I mean, I got 48 hours to see how I feel, and we'll just go from there.
I imagine the pain was noticeable at the injury and maybe the day after. How has it progressed during the week?
Yeah, I mean, kind of with time and rest comes, you know, from Sunday to now, it feels better, but, you know, I still got some time. Still got some marks that I need to hit to, you know, they feel comfortable putting me out there.
Like, how much of this is caution too, as you guys are assessing how you feel?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's football. At the end of the day, things happen. Sometimes you might have to fight through something. But if you could go, you could give it your all, and be smart about it. Obviously, they wouldn't put me in any position they wouldn't feel comfortable in. For my future, I don't want to put myself in that predicament either.
What's the hardest part to get used to for you with this? Like, what's the lingering issue, I guess? Is it pain? Is it more just comfort throwing?
I think it's a mixture of a lot of stuff. I can't really just pinpoint one thing, but, you know, it's kind of just keep being in the training room and trying to put myself in the position to go out there and play.
Last one.
How much do you look forward to this specific game? Obviously, you and Caleb as the first two picks.
I mean, I look forward to it. I mean, respect to Caleb and everybody, but I look forward to playing, trying to play every game. It's not who I'm playing against. Chicago is a good team, but, you know, I'm looking forward to go out there. And hopefully if I play, if I don't, it is what it is. We'll be moving forward, but I treat every game the same.
So I love what he said there, but I'm going to echo something that you said at the beginning of the show today. If he's healthy to play, he should play. I want Jaden Daniels to play. If the doctors give him the okay, I'm expecting him to play. And if Jaden Daniels goes out there and plays, I'm expecting the Commanders to win. They're a different team with him. No disrespect to Marcus Mariota. I know I've come off that way this week, but that's not my intention. If Jaden Daniels is good to go, I think he's going to be good to go. So I'm going to say that Washington, with a healthy Jaden Daniels or a playing Jaden Daniels, I think Washington gets the win. I think it's 30-27. They take down the Chicago Bears, and as you mentioned, they're 6-2 for the first time since Jim Zorn was here.
All right, and that line could certainly obviously shift significantly between now and Sunday, dependent on what happens. You know, in terms of officially what happens on Sunday at kickoff with the quarterback situation. All right, I guess we're done for the day. Big football weekend. Enjoy it. I'll be back on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.